Wow, it's good. They're doing pretty well, because they're awake. I've spotted Connor. Connor's not that awake, so they're still recovering from Soul Survivor. He made me feel good this morning, because I'm kind of just about back with you on planet Earth. A bit tired, but feeling really, really good after Soul Survivor. Now, there's something a little bit unusual in the middle of our room this morning. Hopefully you've clocked there's something in the middle of the room. And this is a table which... Where's Margaret? It's Margaret, Joe's mum, my mother-in-law. Where's Margaret? Could you come and give me a hand, please? And Joe, can you help out as well? Let's do the big reveal. Anyway, I could do with one more person on that corner, maybe. Come on, Ross, grab a corner. Okay, let's do the big reveal. Can I have an ooh, please, as this goes out? Even if it's rubbish, do an ooh, all right? Ready? One, two, three. Ooh! Thank you. Okay, that's quite cool. There's a few things missing from this table still, I think, Joe. It's looking really good, but a little bit missing, maybe. You going to go and get a few more bits for us? Okay, does anyone here go to this school? Attend this school? I'm not going to... Tim, okay. Molly, anyone? Connor, okay. Do your school dinner tables normally look like this? Not quite the same. They're usually kind of a bit mucky. A few rotten chips left on the top. A bit of gravy smeared on. They've probably got the same tables as when I was at school here all those years ago. Now we get... okay. So I was thinking about this table this morning, and it reminded me of some of the amazing meals together we've had in this hall. Scotty, could you show a couple of the pictures? These aren't all from this hall, but we've had loads of amazing things. This is an acknowledged meal at our house, this one. This is just showing how we celebrate meals together. Another one? Okay, this was the cafe team having a... Was that a Christmas meal? I think that's Christmas as well. Oh, no. Sandra leaving back to Australia. So that was a chip supper, I think, was it? Yeah. Next one? Okay, anyone recognise this person here? Kirsty Chinnery. Where were you when this was taken? Bali. Okay, this was meeting new friends in Bali, just showing the way, actually, food, getting to know people is such an important thing. Next one. Okay, this was a Nepal evening, have I got that one right? Not that long ago, we had a curry together at the church, talking around the table, hearing about James and Sandra and all the things they're doing. Next one. Oh, what is that one? Christmas, a Christmas meal. And next one? What else have we got? Any more? What was that one? Oh, I think that was Matt's induction. So when Matt started as leader with the church, that was a celebration in this very hall to celebrate Matt starting. Next one? Okay, that's not so much a table, but I just thought it was very cute, and they've all got chocolate on their fingers, so... But just showing how important food is and getting around the table. And we've done so many amazing things in this church. I thought it'd be really good, just for a moment, try and think. Everyone can do this. Think of the best meal you've ever had with someone. Something which was either amazing or the very worst meal you've ever had, where it all went a little bit pear-shaped. The food was late. It was cold. It was gone off. It was the wrong thing. But just think, 30 seconds, turn to the person next to you. Everyone can do this. Could have been KFC, could have been McDonald's, could have been something amazing. Turn to the person next to you and tell them your best meal ever. Okay. Any really, really good ones that are worth sharing on the mic? Anyone got one which was like, oh yeah, I had tea with the Queen, something like that? Any, yes, come on, what was yours? You actually did have tea with the Queen, yeah, okay. Well, I had tea with the King, always. Okay. anyone else? Anyone had the worst? Oh, go on, let's see yours. What was yours? Best or worst? Best. Go on, what was your best?
The best was my granny's Christmas dinner.
Ah, good old granny. Can't beat granny's Christmas dinner. That's amazing. Did anyone have a worst one? Did anyone have a worst? We had a worst one once in Brighton where we got there. We were in a rush. I won't name the restaurant, but it was a certain cafe after a red colour or something, a French one. And they'd run out of food, and everything was really late, and we waited ages. And then, worst of all, they wouldn't let us use our Tesco tokens. Complete nightmare. Okay. Can you imagine what it was like to have a meal with Jesus? So much of the stuff he taught went on around a meal table. If you pop the next slide up, Scotty, this is from Luke, the meals that Jesus shared with people in the book of Luke. If you have a little look at that, it's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Jesus used these occasions to hear people's stories. He enjoyed their hospitality. He actually used this time to point people in the direction of God, to demonstrate that the gospel was for everyone. So we see some examples here of Jesus hosting a meal and actually catering for 5,000 people. Jesus did that, didn't he? Breaking the bread and the fish, sharing it all around. And you see it right through to the most intimate meal, where he simply shared bread and encouraged two disillusioned disciples. Jesus' table is super inclusive. We see that he ate with tax collectors. Tax collectors, everyone hated them. They were despised in society for being greedy and for siding with the Romans. He ate with prostitutes. He ate with children. He ate with his closest friends. He also ate with the really super overly religious people, the Pharisees, and he had tough conversations with them over a meal. Can you imagine? You don't really want to have a meal with someone you're going to have a tough conversation with, do you? You kind of want to do it by email or from a distance. But Jesus sat there and had these tough, tough conversations. He sat with lawyers. Lawyers is a bit generous. The truth is they were just experts in the law of Moses. But these people were out to catch Jesus out. I wonder how many of us have had a conversation over a meal. I've had this, hopefully a lot of us will have done, where you feel like this person, they want to interrogate me. They want to know why I believe what I believe. And actually, it isn't always comfortable. And Jesus, these experts in the law, you know, they would have known the dots, across the T's, they would have wanted to know everything. And they pushed Jesus. Then we come to the Last Supper, where we see Jesus with this group of disciples who are still learning from him. Peter, who's about to deny him three times. Judas, who's about to betray him, still sitting there at the table with Jesus. So when we share communion together, it's based around Jesus' last night at a table before he was crucified. The disciple John focuses almost a quarter of his book on this Last Supper. It's obviously really significant to him. I wonder if anyone would like to come and sit around this table. I've got 10 chairs. Anyone like to come and sit? You might get to eat something. Be brave. Come up. You might even get a donut. You can be children, adults. Let's just have a few of you who'd like to come up. Naya, yeah, come up. Daisy, come and grab a chair. Save me doing the back work. Holly's coming up. Yeah, come up, come up. Tim's coming up. Any younger ones? Quickly before the chairs go. Joss, come on, you're coming up. You don't have to do anything painful. You're just going to sit at the table with me. Gareth's come in, of course. Of course. No wheelies, Gareth. Great. Anymore? I've still got some spaces. Anyone coming up? Come on, we'll have a table. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, you can both come up. I have a chair. There's two chairs there. Molly, if you could move around one. Is that all right? Brilliant. Okay, so we've got our table full of people. Hello. I wonder what the disciples were expecting at this meal. This evening, can you imagine what it was like traveling around with Jesus? And every meal, he seems to, I'm sure it wasn't every meal, but it felt like when you read the Bible, every meal he does something different, something interesting. Jesus starts this evening, he starts this meal by breaking with tradition. He gets hold of his disciples. I'm not going to do it because you've got stinky feet from Soul Survivor. But he gets his disciples and he washes their feet. What washing feet was the normal thing to do. It was custom because everybody's feet was dirty and sandy from the journey. But actually, it was never the host who had washed people's feet. It would never have been Jesus. It would have been a servant. So Jesus straight away starts this evening by washing their feet. He goes on to tell them that one of them is going to betray him. I'm not saying which one. I don't know who it was. But imagine sitting there. Exactly, Tim. Why me? I wonder what they were thinking. Who's going to betray him? Then he says one of them is going to deny him. Oh, awkward, isn't it? You actually feel a bit awkward looking at me. One's going to deny him. Then he tells them about his father's house and how it's got many rooms. And he says, that's where I'm going. I'm going to my father's house. There's plenty of space there for all of you. So there's some good news. He says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, can you imagine what they're all thinking? What are you talking about, Jesus? What is this stuff about? I get it. Okay, you've got a house with many rooms. You're the way to the house. All a bit strange, but interesting, isn't it? It's getting people thinking. Then he makes a real mind-blowing promise to these people. He says to them, I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit to live in you. Now, the Holy Spirit, up to that point, this is kind of just crazy. The Holy Spirit did things in the Old Testament stories, did some amazing things through people. But actually, the idea of the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of them, it's one for us to get hold of today still, isn't it? What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to live in us? All of this happening over the course of a meal. He talks to them about the importance of staying connected to him. He talks about the vine and the branches. I did bring a little example. This is the nearest I could get to a vine from my house. Do you reckon? What do you reckon with these? Any chance are they going to be grafted back in? Water them. Okay. Oh, thanks for that. Water them, Joe. Jesus is using these brilliant pictures, isn't he? They would have sat there and they'd have known what a vine was like. They'd have known, okay, I need to stay connected. I think they're still thinking, but Jesus, where are you going? We are connected. I'm with you. But he used this picture of a vine with them. He warns them. He says to them, you know what? You love me, you follow me. People are actually going to hate you for that around this table. Wow, what a thing to say at a dinner table, isn't it? It's not sort of customary thing you share over a curry with someone, is it? Oh, just to let you know, actually, loads of people are going to hate you because you love me. But it's honest, isn't it? It's an honest conversation where Jesus is saying, these are some real truths you need to get hold of. He prays for them, and he doesn't only pray for them, but he prays for everyone that's going to hear his message. He actually prays for us at this meal. I love that bit of the story, to think that Jesus stood with his disciples. He prayed for them, and then he said, you know what, it's not just about you. There's going to be loads of people who follow me. And he prayed for me, he said, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow, what a prayer that the world would know us because of our unity in God. And we were praying before the service this morning, and there's a bit of this, the thought of us gathering together. We gather as family, don't we? We gather connected by the Holy Spirit. So I wonder what they were expecting. Possibly not quite as much to take on board as they ended up with. They maybe were thinking it would be a nice Passover meal where we celebrate, we have this amazing time thinking about the Passover. This is all happening. All this conversation takes place in the flow of the meal. Can you imagine what it was like? I've not given the opportunity, but some of those things I've said, you would have turned straight and said, am I the one who's going to deny him? Are you the one? And there'd have been all these little conversations going on around the table. It wouldn't have been silent, would it? There'd have been a proper hubbub. People saying, what's he talking about? The vine and the branches going to his father's house? You can imagine it, can't you? Can you see there's just so much happening before Jesus gets to break the bread? It isn't a separate thing. There's friendship. There's vulnerability. There's foot washing. There's prayer. There's conversation. All of this before Jesus takes the bread and the wine. They're not two separate things. They're connected. It's one meal. So before we get to break bread together this morning, I thought it would be good to actually share some stories together. Okay, don't panic. And what I'd like to do, I'm going to ask you guys, you're going to take the donuts around. There's some more donuts, and you're going to share them. And what you can do, I want you to take a donut, or you can take a piece of fruit. Let's see how much fruit's left. Or you can possibly take both. But as you take it and eat it, just have a little think. Where have I seen Jesus this week? Where have I seen God do something this week? What would be a good story? It doesn't have to be an amazing thing. It doesn't have to be a miracle. A miracle would be great. But it could be something that you've just seen or something you've read. something the same for children, maybe a verse that you've seen or a picture you've seen. Okay, so we're going to do that. We'll give you 5 minutes. Okay, guys, you're going to need to jump up, and you do get to eat a donut as well. And if you could take the donuts and the fruit around, and the serviettes, and just get them around the room. You're allowed one or the other, but have a little chat as they're coming round. Okay, just a reminder, as you're talking, be talking about a conversation, something about Jesus, not about the dishwasher breaking or anything, okay? Let's be talking about, imagine those disciples again, what it was like to sit with Jesus and hear his stories. Slick, Scott, that was nice. Okay. Good, banana skins, great. Okay, I was away at Soul Survivor last week. I don't know if anyone mentioned that. But I was away when Matt was sharing about Philip and the Ethiopian. And I know he challenged some of you, or he challenged everyone, to look for an opportunity to share your faith this week. And I've heard one or two really good things. But what I'd love to do is hear a few more of these. So here is just an opportunity you've had to share faith this week, share a story with someone. I've actually primed a couple of people to come and share. Angela, do you want to come and share yours first? Now, I'm not saying this because it's Angela, but she is first. You're allowed a maximum of 1 minute is the rule. Okay, 1 minute to share. Just happens to be Angela. Okay.
I can't do it quite in 1 minute. I was really challenged last week when Matt challenged us to tell our story, to look for opportunities to tell our story. And I hadn't got anything in mind, but in the evening I went to the service and Rachel Dawson had a picture from God. And the picture was of a tree with, it was almost like there was a branch missing and there was a hollow place where there was a butterfly. Is that right, Rachel? I've got it right. Anyway, as she told the story, I immediately thought of Pat Wright. Now, I don't know who remembers last week that we heard that Pat Wright was having end-of-life care in Wincanton Hospital. And I thought, I need to go and tell Pat this message, that God has got her in a safe place, not in a tree, fortunately, but in a place in his arms where she was really safe. And I felt God told me to go and tell Pat that she was safe in the Father's arms. I to be very honest, I was a little bit put off when I got there, and Sonia and Rick, Pat's, two of Pat's children, and two of her grandchildren were all there as well. So I thought, oh, crumbs. I don't know whether I can really deal with this in a crowd. However, I asked Sonia if it was all right to tell Pat this story. And I they were happy for me to do it. I was glad. I was glad to just assure Pat that she was in the Father's arms. 2 days later, she went to be with him. I was thrilled to have that opportunity. So look out for stories. You never know how important they're going to be.
Give Angela a clap. That was well done, Angela. That's fantastic, isn't it? Lovely. Claire Green, do you want to come and share? Are you here somewhere, Claire? I'm not. You run around tidying something up. There you are.
Okay, I've had to write mine down. So after last Sunday morning service, where we looked at Acts 8, as we've mentioned earlier, there was a challenge left to us as we talked on our tables about how we would use that story in our week ahead. I had an opportunity to speak to someone close to me who suffers from debilitating fear and anxiety. And I shared that I felt the reason they felt so fearful and anxious was because they've lost hope and peace that only God could provide. And they needed to be reconciled to God. And after all, doesn't perfect love cast out fear? And then following on from that the next day, I don't believe it's coincidence that on the Monday, my daily devotional video was based on Acts 8, the very same story. Also, the UCB daily reading was, that the title was, Our God is unlimited, and it reminds us that God can solve any problem as he is not bound by human limitations. And then the next coincidence was I follow Craig Groeschel on Facebook, and his talk was entitled "When You've Had Enough, Be Anxious for Nothing." And the scripture followed Philippians 4:4-5. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then verse 9, "And the God of peace will be with you." So it's just a great reminder that God's in control.
Thanks, Claire. Yeah, clap. Do clap. It's great, isn't it? You can't imagine disciples sitting around a meal hearing Jesus and then saying, "That was a nice talk. Let's wait for the next talk." There's something in between, isn't there? Always. Naya, do you want to come and share yours?
When we were at Soul Survivor, Mike asked if we should stand up if we wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And out of confidence, it was a lot, I stood up. And I was being prayed for by my friends, and I felt the Holy Spirit rest upon me, and I felt calm, and all my anxieties and insecurities were taken from me, and that was like the first time I ever felt that, so it was good.
Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, has anyone else got anything they'd like to share? This, yeah, Paul, run up, brilliant. Don't look worried. This is the idea. You come up.
Well, I'm worried because I wasn't here last week because I was on holiday, and I also have just turned up. But we've had.
Now you should be worried.
If anyone wants to know why we just turned up, it was a brilliant morning at home. So I'm not going to go into that. Anyway, yes, I've got a friend at work who's got a very sick daughter-in-law. She's in her 20s. She's got cancer. The cancer's actually gone into her bone at the moment, in the backbone, and they were really worried about it spreading. So before we break up for school, for the holidays, I said, right, well, you know, she told me of a date. They were going to find out what was happening and the outcome of this and everything and how far it was going. So I said, okay, that's great. So I've tried to remember to pray for her most days and pray that God will do a miracle and all that sort of stuff. And the day before they were getting this feedback, I texted her. We're on holiday, the reception's really bad. I said, please let me know what the outcome is. I might not get the message straight away, etc. Anyway, fortunately, on the Monday, it was this Monday just gone, we were in reception range. She rang me, and she was really apologetic that she rang me on my holiday. But she rang me to tell me that it was an amazing outcome. You know, they were jumping up and down in the car park. These people do not know God at all. But she genuinely believed. It's not completely healed, but it's not spread. The bruising is there, so it's going down. It's a fantastic outcome at the moment, and it doesn't look like... And she said, it's a long way to go. We need to keep on hoping and believing. But she's not a Christian. She honestly believes the prayer is working, and I sent a text back and said, don't apologise for phoning me. It's amazing that you phoned me, and thank you for thanking me, but praise God. And she sent a text back saying, absolutely. So the fact that, you know, she can see more than I can, that God is working in her daughter-in-law's life is just amazing. So thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Paul. Okay, anyone else? Someone else want to come? Yeah, Tony, come on up.
With me, I think I'm a nurse, so I always take, when I'm working, wherever I work in many different places because I do urgent work. I'm a Christian, but sometimes I take challenges wherever I go. So this challenge was sometime this week. I was working some other place. There's this man who has lived by himself and is now in this care home. And he basically was neglecting himself. Doesn't want to be washed, doesn't want to be dressed. All he does is wake up, eat, sleep in his bed. He was unkempt, long beard, long hair, long nails. And he's refusing care from anybody. So I worked on that unit on this particular day, and I was told that's how he's been doing. So I challenged myself and said, I want to go in there and do something. So I walked in, introduced myself, and offered him a shower. He had been refusing. So he said, oh, no, I don't want a shower. I said, no, it's fine, not now. I'll come back at 11 and give you a shower. He said, okay. So I went out and told everyone, he's accepted to have a shower today. Then unfortunately at 11 o'clock, I was giving somebody else a shower. And then he said, oh, there's a man who's supposed to come and give me a shower. And then they told him, oh, he's actually with somebody at the moment, he will come, but can I give you a shower? Somebody else offered him a shower. He said, no, I won't have a shower, but I'll have a wash. He had been refusing everything, but he accepted a wash.
Yeah.
So I then went in and said, oh, I'm sorry, I was a bit late. But can I give you a shave? He said, no, I won't have a shave. I won't have anything. I'm done for today. I said, okay, okay. I left him. I went back in the afternoon with my nail kit and everything. I was determined to at least do something for him for that day. So I went in and said, can I trim your nails? He looked at me and said, oh, you've just woken me up. I said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that, but can I trim your nails? It's okay then. So I sat down with him, trimmed his nails, cleaned his nails. Then I thought I'll push it a bit further. I said, can I trim your beard? He looked at me, he goes, oh, yeah. Then I said, how short do you want it? He said, he had never kept a beard. He had just let it grow. So I said, can I trim it as short as I can? He said, yeah. And I had a scissors. I didn't have a proper trimming machine. So I trimmed his beard nicely, very, very short. And he looked like a different man after that. And then I said, I'm working on Saturday. Can I bring my trimmer from home and trim it properly? Because I just use the scissors. Then he said, okay, yeah, you can do that. So yesterday I went in with my trimmer. I said, I promise I'll bring a trimmer. He goes, oh, no, 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 it's okay as it is. Everyone has been admiring me like this. I said, yeah, but it's going to grow back again quickly. Let me do it nicely with a trimmer. Then he said, okay. So I trimmed it nicely. And then I said, oh, yeah, there you are now. You look like a new man. He had this big smile. This is a man who wasn't socializing with anyone, who wasn't accepting any kind of care. And the compliments that he was getting from all the carers that were walking in and they see him looking different, it was good. For me personally, as a Christian, although I cannot openly go out there to the people that I look after and say and talk about my Christianity and all that, I feel what I do when I'm doing my job is my Christianity comes out, and I felt good.
Yeah,
having done what I did for this.
Thank you, Tony. Hey, brilliant. He's got some good stories, Tony. I know. I've only chatted through a little bit over time, but grab him. Grab him over a coffee later on and get some more stories out of him. He's got loads. Okay, we've got time for one more thing. Who? Yeah? No, we'll make it two. Sarah, do you want to go?
Believe it or not, mine's very, very quick. I've been at New Wine for 2 weeks, which is absolutely wonderful. But one of the major things that stuck in my head was a saying, and this lady said, do you realise that your life could be the only Bible that someone else sees and hears? And I thought, oh, wow.
Can we clap because I didn't hear it? I'm sure it's good. Neil, okay.
You know, this week, last week I lost my dad and I had a foot on a tree and it brings me memory, like, sometimes it hurts. This week I've been grieving quite badly, like, crying everywhere and things like that. My dad just died last Tuesday. Matt, you know, don't you, Matt? To everyone being here, been so brilliant, friends and everything. Thanks for praying for me as well last Sunday night. Thanks, Matt.
It's good. We've been praying for you all week. It's good.
Thanks, Neil.
Just, Matt will shoot me. One other quick one. I had a nice email yesterday. Is Andy and Jan here? I didn't see them. I think they might have gone on holiday. But some of you here last week, you might remember Jan said, I've got my grandkids over. I'm just going to start showing them VeggieTales videos or something with some really good, fun Bible stories. She sent me an email yesterday with a picture of the grandkids watching, just glued to the TV, watching these VeggieTales things. Good, isn't it? God is good. The Word of God comes alive, doesn't it, when we really dig into it together. So, What have we seen so far this morning? What has Matt been, what's the point he's been trying to make? Is that actually this table, this communion meal, is way more than sometimes we make it out to be. Okay, we sometimes say it's bread and wine, but actually it's way more than that. It's the life of Jesus, it's vulnerability, it's friendship, it's healing. It's the community, it's inclusion. It's saying, who hasn't experienced the goodness of God yet? Come close to God. He invites you to the table. And so I want to give you just a moment. I'm just going to pause for a moment. I just want you to think about what it means for Jesus himself to say to you personally, you are invited. Now, we hear these things a lot in church, but I want you to really think about it. You are invited to friendship. You're invited to socialize. You're invited to say, what does this mean, Lord? You're invited to talk about your doubts. You're invited to say, actually, God, if I'm honest, I'm really rubbish at the moment. I'm really struggling. And Jesus says, yeah, come. Come, join me at the table. So let's just take a moment's quiet and just think about Jesus inviting you personally to the table before we take communion. Going to read the verses that I read right at the beginning. The words of Jesus. Just as my Father has given me a kingdom, I now give you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. We're going to take communion and the servers, they're going to come now. And I just want to give you this invitation. Everybody that was there in the room that evening, they wanted in, all right? There was a hunger for Jesus. Some of them were messed up, even Judas, totally messed up. But there was a reason he was there. And we don't know exactly who was in the room. But all of those people had chosen to be there. And if this morning, in your kind of life, if you're thinking, you know what? I want to be at the table with Jesus. We're going to invite you to share in this incredible meal, right at the center of all that was going on. This amazing meal. And it wouldn't have looked as grand as this. You know that, right? It would have been just this simple table on the floor with friends sat round, real life, but with Jesus in the room. So we're joining with approximately 53 million other people doing this today around the world. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? All of them on a journey, all of them in this conversation, all of them choosing to come and sit at the table with Jesus. When we were praying earlier on, I had this really, really strong sense of God saying, I can do miracles when you sit with me. I can do the impossible when you're with me. And that's our prayer this morning as we take communion. Whatever a miracle looks like in your life through this simple thing of sitting with Jesus and his friends, we're going to pray that that happens. All right? Is that okay? So I'm just going to pray and then we're going to move into communion together. Father, we thank you for this amazing picture that Matt has painted for us, that it's not an altar with an angry God that we come to. We come to a simple table with food and celebration and joy and heartache and doubts. We bring it all to you and we sit with you. And we pray this morning that whatever a miracle may look like for the youngest person to the oldest person, we pray that we would remember, just like you told us to, that we would remember that when we sit with you, everything changes. Hope comes, healing comes. The beginnings of answers, new questions, ideas, forgiveness, Lord, right at the heart of this table. The God who laid down his life and then won victory over the enemy, the greatest miracle of all. Father, we pray, every one of us this morning, that we would believe that through sitting with you, things change. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to ask those who are serving just to come now. These amazing, famous verses that we read, just get hold of these from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Lord God, I just thank you so much for this bread. So simple, so easy to get hold of, and yet so full of meaning. when we think about what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you, as we've already looked at this morning, that this table, this communion, is something that is an invitation to all of us. Those of us that love you, those of us that want to love you more, those of us that have tons of faith, those of us that have no faith, those of us that are strong, that spoke to you just this morning, and those of us that are wondering whether you even exist. I thank you that you invite all of us, and I thank you that your death was for all of us, your body was broken for all of us, that there is no one who's excluded from your love, from your grace, from your forgiveness. Amen.
We're going to serve the bread now. I'm going to invite you just to take it and eat it as you're ready, so don't hold on to it, eat it as it comes round. There is a gluten-free option, and I'm going to ask, it's actually gluten-free that's coming around, so you've got a real bread option. If you really hate gluten-free, there's real bread over here, but it's fine. We're going to pass this bread around. Take it, be expectant, this celebration, this feast, this amazing privilege of sitting with Jesus. We eat with him. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We had a really strong sense earlier as we were praying, actually during the week, but earlier this morning when we were praying, that there may be one or two people here this morning, and in your heart, you actually haven't accepted that Jesus is your Lord, that he loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. And these kind of visual symbols of bread and wine, they're not just for other people, but they're for you as well. They pointed to what he would do, that he'd give up his life, that he'd take it up again, so that you could have this amazing, fruitful, life-giving relationship with him. And maybe this morning, this is a moment for you just to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want you to be my Lord, not just a God that's far off, a God over here, but a God who's inside of me. I want to be somebody that sits at the table with you, that has conversations with you, that trusts you." And I'm going to ask Sally to pray for the wine, that the power of Jesus' blood would be as true for you today as it would for those of us that we just love Jesus already.
Just thank you that you went to the cross and you shed your blood for us. And that is for everyone, Lord. However we are, whatever situation we're in, whatever we've done, Lord, you accept us, Lord, for who we are. And you cry out for the lost. You cry out for those who feel unworthy. You cry out for those who reject you, Lord. And you have a place at the table for us. And too many of those seats are empty currently. And we just pray for those empty seats, Lord. You touch the hearts of those who are not ready yet to come to the table. We pray that right now you'll touch their hearts, Lord, and they will want to run to your table. For you have a banqueting table ready for us. A banqueting table that is so full and so overflowing, we can't even imagine it. And we just pray in your holy name that those people will know that your blood was shed for them and not just for a few. Amen.
Yeah, we're going to serve the wine. It's not actually wine, it's juice. It's kind of symbolic of Jesus' blood. I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you've not said, "God, I want you in my life, I want you to be Lord," and you'd like to do that today, you could just nudge the person next to you and say, "Would you pray for me?" Ask them to pray for you. And it would be their absolute joy and privilege to serve you with the wine and bread if you've not taken bread. And the rest of us, let's keep on. Let's just say, "Lord, we're at your table. We're believing that this meal with you changes us. Changes us." Okay, let's serve the wine now. Again, as the wine comes around, don't hold on to it. Just take it and drink it. If you've not had the wine yet, just raise a hand and we'll get over to you. Good. Don't you just love this idea of Jesus inviting all of us, this inclusive, loving Jesus who is about to lay down his life, just saying, come and eat with me. We're going to worship a little bit longer. Want to really encourage you to engage with God. Maybe you've started a conversation with him this morning. Maybe you've realized something. Maybe a hope has arisen. That'd be a great thing. But we're going to just give maybe just 10 minutes to really worship this Jesus who says all of us are included. All of us are loved. Yeah. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, you guys who have served us. Lord, we want to give ourselves to worship as we finish this bit of our time together. Lord, we thank you so much for what Matt shared. We thank you for this incredible picture of celebration, of feasting, of friendship, of testimony, and with you right in the middle, with us holding on to your every word and your words having power. And we just pray now, Lord Jesus, maybe some of those things that we've started to believe for, or the little bits of prayer that we've said in that hope that you're a God who loves and you are. We pray, let faith rise as we worship you. Lord, let faith rise that you're a God of the impossible. You're the God of miracles. And Father, we pray even this morning, let healing come. Let salvation come. Let hope come in Jesus' name. Let's worship Jesus together.